Welcome back to the Profit Your Knowledge podcast. Today's guest is Laura Johnson, and today we're talking about managing and balancing your home life while you grow your business. I think we could all agree that we would love to work from home, you know, and anywhere in the world. Like, that's the big dream that people have, especially if you work in a 9-to-5, you got to commute and all this stuff. But when you finally take the step and start doing it, you quickly realize, especially when you have a family and kids, you know, that life is kind of chaotic at home. And you're like, I'm trying to record this video, this podcast, but the kids are screaming, they're banging on the door and stuff because they want to be with mommy or daddy. And that's why Laura's on the show right now. She has been married for 14 years. She has four beautiful tyrants, as she calls them, two spicy cats, and a business she calls her fifth kid. And that's really what this is. So we're talking about how to balance all of this, this beautiful chaos, you know, so you can really live your dream and have a wonderful life at home. So how are you doing today, Laura?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm excited to talk about this because you're the first person I've had on the show that's like, I mean, I've had people where we talk about relationships and this is a relationship. But this is just kind of like a new, unique little approach to it. So I'd love to hear a bit about your story. First off, what made you decide to be an entrepreneur instead of just working in a job while you had your kids, you know, like a normal, simple life, right? It'd be so simple just to do that. But what made you decide to become an entrepreneur? And then how did you kind of get into the space where you're teaching what you're teaching now with balancing home life and work and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question because I never thought I would be an entrepreneur. It was something that my life forced me into, I guess you could say. I knew I wanted a career. I knew I wanted to be able to raise my children at the same time. But my children, I have very special, unique needs within my family. I've got two out of the four of my kids that are autistic, which requires a lot of appointments and a lot of, you know, back and forth between schools. And sometimes they don't go to school. And I've got one that's homeschooled right now. And so it just kind of fell into my lap that way. But as I started looking back throughout my life, I started being able to unwind, like, what do I actually enjoy doing? And I enjoy like helping people. And so for a time, you know, once I stepped away from, you know, corporate America, I always worked from home, you know, some kind of part-time thing. But then as I grew my family, I started a nonprofit with a few other ladies, and we grew that. We helped terminally ill parents. And that was kind of my first step into, I guess, entrepreneurship, even though it was a nonprofit. And I remember having like this existential crisis on like, I'm able to raise money and help this family, but what about the thousands that are still living that feel like they can't be present in their life, that feel like they're missing out? Cause that was like the overall theme of like, how can we help them in their last few months of their life, get all of the memories in? And when I realized, like, for the most part, parents are missing out on those memories. And I want to make sure that we're having a home life that is in harmony with our dreams and our goals for our family. So that's kind of what led me into like what I do now. I help parents get out of their funk and live their life on purpose.
Yeah, that's really cool. And I think it is so big because, like I mentioned in, you know, that little introduction about people have a dream, and I hear it all the time of like, I want to work from home. Mm-hmm. And then they start working from home and it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many distractions. There's so much chaos. Cause especially when you're not used to it, you know? So for me personally, cause I was a productivity and performance coach before I got into online business. That's where I learned about like courses and I got more savvy with business. And then people started asking me for help and whatnot. And it's still a lot of that ties into what I do today because I don't want to just help people make money. You know, it's like, yeah, let's make money teaching stuff because it's just awesome. Like, do work that you really enjoy. But also let's think about how can we work fewer hours so we can actually live more. And I think a big part of it too is like how you structure your business too, because that is a huge effect on how much time you have to spend with the family and flexibility.
Yeah, I think that's a critical part. And like the way I kind of think about it sometimes is like, I live in Utah. I live right by the mountains. We spend a lot of time in the mountains. I grew up camping, backpacking, all of that. And fire was always the first thing you set up at camp. Like, you had your tent and then you had your fire. And I always remember like my dad would have us go and pick rocks and we'd create the boundary for where our fire was. And as I've worked with so many entrepreneurs and so many parents, what I've realized is that when you start getting into business, it feels good. You feel like that passion, that fire is alive in you. You're living your purpose out. And it feels so much more fun to be doing that than dealing with the screaming kids at home or the pile of laundry or, you know, all the millions of things that are waiting for you. So what I find is that like the boundaries there don't really exist. And it's like the fire starts to spread and it can create, like it can kind of destroy a lot of other areas or structures within your home if you don't have those boundaries in place. And so when that's one of the things that I love is it's not just creating very stringent boundaries on like, I will only work at this time because kids don't really work on stringent boundaries, but it's learning how to be able to manage your mind and then systemize so much within your home so that it's functioning to support you, not trying to take away from you.
Right. So if I were to hire you, you would help me basically like assess my living situation and my goals too of if I'm an entrepreneur, like, yeah, I want to grow my business, but I'm at home, my kids are banging on the door, you know, these kind of things. So what you would help me do and clarify me obviously is create boundaries that align with me and kind of my household too. So every household's kind of like its own unique little thing.
Yeah. Yes, I think that's such an important thing that you just mentioned there is no two homes are alike. So when you go online and you try and find like it's very common on Pinterest to find like a command center where you have like the whiteboard for the family and you've got your meal prepping and you've got all these things. But if your family doesn't work that way, and if your brain doesn't work that way, you're going to spend all this time trying to create and implement a system that will not work for you. So that's one of my favorite things that I get to do is I call it my home systems study, where we spend time like going into like the patterns of your home. Like every home is like their own natural ecosystem, and it has these patterns that exist. So if you're fighting against those patterns to implement some kind of structure, it will fail every single time. But if you actually understand the patterns of your own brain, the patterns of a partner, the patterns of your children, it becomes so much easier to start implementing some of those systems. And then it becomes easier to have boundaries because you're not drowning in dishes or laundry.
Yeah. Do you find that you work more, because you mentioned earlier, it's like parents and then entrepreneurs. Obviously, entrepreneurs can be parents too. But do you find that you work more with entrepreneurial parents or just kind of normal? I say normal, but just like they work in like a 9-to-5, you know, a normal kind of life, not being an entrepreneur, maybe building a business on top of working that. Do you work with more entrepreneurial based families or just kind of normal families too?
That's a good question. I guess I've never really sat down to think about it. It's probably 50-50. I guess as I'm thinking about it, you know, I've got CEOs, doctors, you know, all of that, all the way down to, and I don't mean down to, that sounds like it's, you know, a hierarchy, women that have chosen to stay home or, you know, stay at home dads, to raise their children, be the primary caregiver. I don't like the phrase like stay at home parent. So I have a huge mix of all of it. But I think the common thing with all of it is that their house overwhelms them, the stuff in their house overwhelms them, and they're overwhelmed by their children's demands. And so that's like, regardless of what kind of work that you do, that is the common pattern. That is the common concern of parents everywhere.
Mm. Cool. So what advice would you give to someone? I know what you do is very specific. Obviously, if I want to get the best result, I would sit on a call with you or get coached by you because you could unpack and dissect my entire life, basically. But
yeah, great time.
In terms of like general life, what advice would you give to someone who's thinking about creating these boundaries? Let's say for my audience, there are people who want to start and grow an online business, teaching stuff. You know, someone's working this on the side, they're working from home, maybe they're working they're working on this. They also have a job, but they also have a family. What kind of advice would you give to that person in terms of setting boundaries to where they can grow their business and be there for the family and still get everything done?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And it goes back to like the 1990s concept of work-life balance. When you study the history of it, it's pretty fascinating that that they felt they could see that like people needed to have this balance. So they created this like phrase, work-life balance. But for the most part, people's minds, as soon as they hear that, they think about it in terms of like the measurement. What are those called? Like the scale, the old time
scale. Yeah, just like a weighing scale.
Like a weighted scale. So if you've got work and life on one side and work on one side, life on the other, if you start to feed one, the other one tips. So there is literally no way both of them can be completely equal at all times, because there are different demands and different seasons of your business and with your family. So what I really like came down to, and what I love being able to teach my clients, is to like throw that concept away. Like, that is not serving anyone. Can we just throw it away? And again, like I'm a very nature type person. It's just who I am. And I started thinking about like what is a new structure that we can replace in our mind? And I came up with like this image of a spider web. Every spider web is unique, you know, based on the spider, based on, you know, the kind of spider. And I started to think about like, that's so similar to how our lives are. We have these webs, I call it like the web of balance, where we have these spindles that are coming off of it. And each spindle represents like different priorities within our life. And they're all connected to each other. So when you're taking care of your children at home, when you're practicing communication with them, you're teaching them how to communicate, you're able to then go and do that with your employees at work. It's the same skill. It's just a different circumstance. It's the same thing with like caring for yourself and being able to journal and meditate. And then you take those same skills, like that self-care, into your business. And chances are you're going to have somebody in your business that you're helping understand that self-care. So all of a sudden, everything is kind of intertwined and working together for the greater good of you and your family. But I think the most important thing in all of this is that it takes a lot for the entire web to come down, for all of the spindles to come down. There are times in your life where one spindle will fall. Sometimes half of the spindles will fall, but your web is still intact. You can trust that, like, it's, you just go to work on like rebalancing and creating those spindles again. And I think like what I've seen with entrepreneurs for the most part is that when they go all in, again, like that fire, they don't have those boundaries and they're not really conscious about it, their entire web can fall. And at that point, that's where you have to actually come in and make some harder boundaries and harder decisions in order to rebuild the web in a way that serves you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Cause the teeter totter is just, it's almost like too simple. And, yeah, I have my own ways of balancing my work and my life, which I can share. This just reminds me of this one course I took about relationships, you know, between like a man and woman. It's not like necessarily, it's about like having a nice relationship together. But the way he structured the program was through 9 pillars that make a successful relationship. And it's things like there's trust, communication, you know, I can't remember the other ones, but there's like respect, you know, and there's a bunch of other ones, but I haven't seen the course in a while. But the way it was structured was that you have these 9 pillars, and in this instance, it doesn't have to be 9, and it's called pillar content. And now I've adopted this when I help people build like programs and courses and stuff, especially when it's like a more of a mindset kind of driven program, that you can have these pillars. But he talked about, before you got into the program, he did an introduction. The next lesson was about taking a balanced approach. And it's basically saying like the same thing. It's like they're never, or very rarely, will ever be perfectly balanced. But you notice that if you're putting a lot of attention on one, then it's starting to weigh down the other ones. And you look back and you're like, okay, well, there's like we're out of alignment. Oh, it's because over here I have done, you know, not enough of this. There hasn't been enough respect in our relationship because I haven't been practicing the things that create respect, you know? And it's just kind of interesting taking that balanced approach, because balance is a very, especially work-life balance, it's a very overused term, I feel. So I like your concept of the web.
Yeah. I always joke that I'm a work-life balance coach for families, but I hate work-life balance.
So. Right. I've had some people on the podcast and they teach work-life balance, and it's like, they always say, like, I don't like work-life balance, like, but you teach it. What are you talking about? You know, and it's, you can only put so much time into one thing at a time. You cannot do multiple things at once. It can't be, I mean, theoretically I could, you know, if I had a kid, be tending to my kid, giving them attention and being on a coaching call, but I'm not going to be like, I could pull it off, but I'm not going to be like fully present and performing at my best unless I'm focusing on one thing at a time. And yeah, I don't have kids, but what I do is I love time blocking. And I know someone's like, oh, time blocking, you know, they can feel that way. But I use 4 time blocks, and they're big time blocks that stretch over hours. So right now I'm in my work time block. After this is 9 a.m. ish, 9:25 right now. At 2 p.m. roughly, today is going to go a little bit longer, which I'm totally fine with. These are just rough guidelines. I go into family and friends. So after this, I'm solely focused on family and friends. And that's it, because my work is done, you know. But again, I don't have kids banging on my door. I do have a cat who does it every now and then. So I'm able to stay in my work hours more, and people know that I'm in my work hours. But like before this, I have like gym, breakfast, kind of self-care is my big block. That's where I worked out this morning, ate some good food, actually helped my girlfriend, dropped her off to get her car fixed, you know, and stuff like that. So I just having a bit of structure for me helps so much in terms of work-life balance.
Yeah. Well, and I envy.
I don't have 4 kids.
I'm like, that's a beautiful, I'm not going to lie. But that's where it like really comes down to understanding the patterns of your home, because I know for me, I don't have blocks of time. I just don't. Right. Are times where I can block out, because those are my clients. And that's where I have like somebody else here with the children, because you're, like you said, like I want to be there and present with my kids. So I always make sure that everybody is accounted for and being watched during those calls. But I think that's where for my brain, I don't do very well with like stringent structure. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs kind of fall in this like neurodivergency, ADHD, you know, whatever you want to call it, where for me, it's like easier to have on and off days. It's still structure, but it just looks different. Right. So like Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, those are my more structured days, knowing that like Tuesdays are sacred. I don't touch work at all. Mm. I don't schedule appointments. I don't do any appointments with the kids on that day. That is clearly like, that is my only day where I get to do whatever I want. Sometimes that's cleaning. Sometimes it's playing with my baby. Well, I mean, I always play with my baby, but you know, like we just get to do whatever we want on Tuesday. That is a sacred day. It's totally unstructured. Mm. And so for my body, that's like what I have to do is have a day where I'm completely unstructured. And that allows me to have a day that's more structured. And so that's where like being able to understand how everybody's brain and body works and learning how to create a system within that. And, you know, going back to like what you were saying with, you know, time blocks and home and family. And I think for the most part, homes are not, we think of like a clean home as a destination, and we think about like everything will be perfect. But when I think about like going back to the ecosystem, it's very cyclical. So I'm never worried about having a clean home. I'm worried about resetting the systems of my home. And depending on what area of my home I care more about is the system I focus on. So like there's a system that like, you know, I reset every day, probably 3 times a day. There are other parts of my home where I'm not going to touch it for a month, and I'm okay with that. Mm. But those are very deliberate decisions that I've made, because that's how it supports me and my life and my purpose, because I never believe stuff should take you away from your purpose or right. from relationships, you know, with your children.
Yeah. So you touched on something a little bit ago about when you're doing calls, you have someone watching the kids, you know, you have help, and obviously your life is, your home is very different from someone who's listening to this podcast, but I think it's helpful to hear how you've done this, you know, as you decided to be a business owner and do your own entrepreneurial thing, which is awesome, and have 4 kids at home plus fur babies and all this stuff. And they want, like all these people want mom's attention, but now you're doing calls, you have clients that you're servicing and whatnot. How did you kind of go about structuring your business? Like what made you decide Tuesdays of all days, not Fridays, Tuesdays is my day off to just freedom. And then how did you kind of structure and think about how am I going to make this work for me when I have calls that I'm not going to get distracted? How did you kind of go about all that?
I think it's a fun question because again, it just kind of falls in your lap because there really was no rhyme or reason to it. It was, you know, years ago, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday was when I could find a sitter. That's just really what it was.
Wow.
So then at that point, I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get on board with like Tuesdays and Fridays are my day. But, you know, looking back, I've been working from home for almost 12 years, you know, doing all different kinds of things. Now it just happens to be a business. But there were times where I only worked during naps. There were times I was taking my kids, you know, into the office. There were times where I was working late at night or early in the morning. Even when I started my business, I didn't have childcare. So I only did it during naps, or I did it early morning and tried to get people in a different time zone so it was daytime for them. And so I was able to like have a lot of fun being able to see how I can make it work with wherever I'm at. At this point, you know, with four kids, my business is established, I'm making more money, I can hire someone to come in on those days and care for my baby. The middle two are in school and then the oldest is homeschooled. So that's where like, it really just comes and goes. There's no rhyme or reason to it. It's just whatever you can make work and get on board with it and have fun with it and trust that the universe has brought that to you. And that's what's meant to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something important here too, is like you had to work on nap time in the beginning. And
That's all I had.
That's all you had. And that's what you had to do. And then you started making more business, getting more clients in the door. And then it came to where, oh, I can hire help. Not a big deal. Cool. Now I have more time that I can invest in this. And I always tell people who are like, I want to work fewer hours. I'm like, then work fewer hours. Like the easiest way to work fewer hours is to give yourself fewer hours to work. Yeah. So what it does too, is it forces you to be more intentional about what you're doing, because I could work all day, every day if I wanted.
Yes.
I could give myself 12 hours a day. I'm just going to work. My work is not going to be that good, first of all, because I've tried this. And I'm going to be tired. I'm going to be overwhelmed. I'm probably going to do a bunch of unnecessary things just to be busy, just to fill the time. When I started, I do 20 hours a week in my business. Sometimes I go a little bit more, a little bit less, you know, but roughly it's right around there. And I have like hard cutoffs where, you know, at 2 to 3. Today is going to go a bit longer because I have an appointment. You know, it's totally fine. I'm okay with that because I have control of the schedule. But after that, like I'm done. Sure, I could work more, but I have a little boundary with myself where no, I'm not going to. And when I started doing that, I started thinking, okay, what are the things that actually do work versus just the busy work? And it's such an easy way and simple way just to like be more efficient and actually grow your business. With you, when you were working nap time, that's all you had. Started growing your business, then you were able to hire a sitter and different people to come in and kind of support you on your journey so you could put more into the business like you wanted to. How did you get the ball rolling with only nap time? How did you get like the first few clients to where you could bring in that income a little bit more to bring on some help and like a sitter?
Yeah. It's been a while since I've thought about that actually. I don't know. I guess I just did it. And that sounds really odd, but it's like, if you know what you want to do, then stop wasting time making excuses. Like I remember sitting down and I genuinely was like, okay, I know I feel called to this. I know like this is what I want to do. This is what I'm meant to do. How can I make this work for me and my family, knowing that I do have these unique needs? And so when I really sat down and I like chopped stuff, like I literally, again, this goes back to like the home system study and like that I have a tool I use called the time creator, where we like get into the nitty gritty of like, where is your time going? What I realized was that I had nap times to give. That was what I had to give. But before, I was using nap times for a lot of the household management. So I had to come up with some kind of other way in order to care for those things so that I could be present in my business. And really that was what got the ball rolling, was being able to know where I, like, the things that worked and go and do those things first. So as soon as like nap time hits, then, you know, I go into this. Now, when I'm like writing content, for me, that was always later at night because I had larger blocks of window and it takes my brain time to like get into that creative mode. But if it's like, you know, small little things, like I broke things down into like 15-minute increments of like, what kind of activity could I do that moves the needle towards getting a client in 15 minutes? And my brain could then pick, okay, this seems doable. So I like take that off the list and I go and do that thing, you know? So it really is just, again, learning how your brain and your body works and being able to trust that the time you have is enough time to grow your business.
Yeah. I think that people make things too complicated, and I'm guilty of this too back in the day, you know, until I realized like, okay, this isn't actually making money. These are things that do. And if you want to build a coaching business or you're teaching people, which is what we're doing here, you have to engage with people. And I was in a group recently and this person was like, you know, like I want to, it was all about like growing your business, you know, and they're like getting started, getting the ball rolling with their business, working at getting clients. And they're like, I've been journaling in the morning. I was taking my cold showers. And I'm like, in my head, I'm just like, that's great, you know, but how many conversations have you had with people you can help? And that's all that it is. It's like the more conversations you can have with the people you can help about the things you can help them with, the more opportunity that creates for like interest in things that you do and stuff. So it's like structure, like fill your day with conversations. That's a term from the book, which is a great book if you're trying to get clients, called The Prosperous Coach by Rich Litvin. But that's what we talked about. It's like fill your day with conversations. And when I read that, I'm like, how many conversations have I had? I was like not making any money. And I'm like, okay, I haven't really had any conversations with people. I was like making content, which is great. You know, make content. I think it's really important. But that doesn't always equate to actually sitting down with people, you know, and stuff like that. So it's just a wild thing.
Yeah, I actually had a really hard time with that. Like I love that, you know, part of the Prosperous Coach, but I had very limited time in order to like have those conversations. So at one point I was like, okay, networking events are off the table because I don't have a sitter for those hours. Being able to like schedule a lot of calls, that was kind of out the door. So I'm like, what can I actually do to bring people into my orbit so I can reach out to more people? And I brainstormed like, well, I'm already reading self-help books. Why don't I just create a virtual book club where people can come on and I teach them the book if they don't have time to read it? I can't tell you like the thousands and thousands of dollars in my business that came from that one idea. Because I didn't have the time. I had to think outside of the traditional box on how can I have conversations while preserving my time and energy, because it's being used in a different way for right now.
Yeah.
So that there's things like that, that like we can think out of the box on how to have those conversations so that we can move the needle in our business and be present with our family and the needs that we have.
Totally. Yeah. I love that. And too, I just had a gentleman sign up for my coaching program this past week, paid in full, awesome fit. He was stellar. And I was like, this is amazing. But the even cooler part is that he found my YouTube channel, because I make a YouTube video every week, conversation. It's the same process. It's not direct conversation. It's me just kind of talking, but I was speaking to him. And this is all happening in the background. I just saw his appointment show up on my calendar like that day. And I'm like, cool. Cause he found a time, he was ready. He was like eager. Even when he got on the call, he was so sold on working with me, and I've never met him before. And I was like, let's make sure this is a good fit, first of all. But this is what we talked about in the very beginning of this episode about how you build your business makes a huge impact on the time that you have. Cause the sale was already done by the time we got to the call, because he watched one video from me, he discovered me, and then he binge watched like 10 other ones. And then he's comparing my video to other people's, or my content to other people's content in the same space that I know. And they're like friends of mine. Like, I've been in masterminds with these other people and I'm like, I respect the heck out of those guys. And he was like, your content just resonated with me more. And I'm like, okay. So he went in, there's always a way to get to my website. He found that he could book a call, and then he booked a call, and yeah, he was like the perfect fit, super motivated, ready to go. And he paid in full. And it's like, all that was done for me, because even watching YouTube videos or even you listening to this podcast, like, you can feel connected to either Laura or me. And you feel like you kind of know someone with this longer form content. And then you go to their website and they're like, I listened to your episode on the Profit Your Knowledge podcast and it was super cool. Yeah. And stuff like that. So it's all through conversation. It's just a wild, wild game. So.
Yeah, I love it. And you can build so many relationships and not even know it. It's like,
yeah. Yeah. And if you have like a YouTube channel or a really good podcast, that's building relationships at scale. Cause even if you're getting like, let's say 100 people to watch your YouTube video, people are like, oh, I'm not getting hundreds of thousands. It's like, okay, well, if I put you in a room with 100 people in the room, you'd be like, I'm on cloud nine. This is amazing. I spoke in front of 100 people. And it's like, you don't think about it. And you see those as small numbers. When you're getting hundreds with every video, it's like, you're making a way bigger impact than you realize. So
it's funny you say that, and I want to make sure we're conscious of time, but
that's all good.
I remember, I was so scared to do online videos. I was petrified. So I had to, but like, I love speaking. I love doing in-person events. So it was probably, months. I would probably say 6 to 8 months where I would get totally ready. Like, I was going to be speaking at an in-person event and I would just practice talking to the camera. Like, I was imagining being in person. Cause I'm like, if I had this same number of views, but they were just in a room with me, I'd be feeling their energy and I'd be like having a good time. Mm-hmm. But just looking at the camera, it was like my whole body like had a reaction to
it. It's awkward.
Awkward. So I got ready, like head to toe, shoes, everything, nails done, lipstick on. And I would just practice in front of the camera just so that I could practice feeling that energy in my imagination. Mm-hmm. So it just made me laugh that, you know, you were talking about that.
Yeah.
If you're in a room with all these people, it'd be huge.
Yeah. Yeah. If I help someone with their YouTube channel, like, it's so awkward, but you're like really good at it. I'm like, well, I've been doing it for years. Yeah. Like, practice. I stare at a camera every day and talk to it as if it's my best friend. So yeah, it's just with practice. But yeah, this is awesome. Laura, it's been great getting to know you. And thanks for all the knowledge bombs and strategies and stories that you shared today. Where can people learn more about you and get connected?
Yeah, so you can find me on my website, which is laurajohnsoncoaching.com. Laura is spelled L-A-R-A. From there, you'll find a lot of resources that you can use. It also links to my website, to my podcast, which is Mom on Purpose. I help moms get out of their funk and live life on purpose. And even though it's targeted towards mom, the language that we use, I promise you will get a lot. If you are male, you will get a lot out of it. I do have male clients. So those are the two places that you can find me.
Awesome. We will put links in the description. So for the listener, you got to find what works for you. That's kind of the big takeaway that I get from this. Your home is unique. It's different from Laura's. It's different from my home. I don't have kids. Laura has 4, you know, and fur babies. I have some fur babies, I'll say. But you have to kind of play around with what works for you and be strategic with what you're doing. If you're trying to like get clients and grow your business, just think, like, the realization for me was how many conversations you're actually having with the right kind of people. And it can be in the form of a YouTube video as well, because it's kind of a conversation in a way. It's just not two-way conversation. But then inviting them over where they can book a phone call with you and things like that, which I have, you know, different episodes and all that kind of stuff on. But being strategic with your time and really thinking like, okay, what can I do realistically in this amount of time? And if you give yourself fewer hours to work, you will actually be more strategic and find ways to make it work. And if you stay in the game long enough, you'll make it work. I literally can back you on that. So the biggest thing is, I hope this episode inspired you and that you do something with this information. Implementation is your only superpower. So take what you learned here, get out there, make something happen. We will see you in the next one.